Colonel Rob Maness has a lifelong record of providing dedicated service to this nation. Having worked his way up from the enlisted ranks to full colonel, he served our country for more than 32 years. He has served as a bomber squadron commander, bomb disposal technician, Joint Chiefs of Staff Operations Officer, assisted the National Security Team with the campaign plan for the global war on terrorism. He authored the first theater nuclear war plan and served as the vice commander of America's largest airborne intelligence wing. Colonel Rob Maness is a true American hero. This is Rob Maness Live.
I turned my back, and there was an officer with a long rifle pointed in the direction of our table. And I'm sure that we have this video. There were officers every couple of feet with their rifles pointed out towards the crowd. That is not something that happens unless there is an extreme threat to the life of the president or the life of the vice president. It is very, very similar to what we saw in Butler, Pennsylvania. And honestly, because the cell signal is so jammed right now, it's either because there are stones in this ballroom or the law enforcement folks in DC have the ability to jam us. There is like no cell signal getting out. I'm actually seeing the video. I'm looking at it right now on a little bit of a delay on our photographer, one of our photographer Brett's cell phone. It's kind of freezing up, but that is very similar to the response in Butler.
Welcome back to the Rob Maness Show. It's More War Monday, and we're live on Worldview Tube and our X Spaces simulcast. Well, folks, the worst wars aren't fought on distant battlefields overseas. The worst wars are the ones that pit brother against brother right here at home. We learned that in the 1860s, the hard way. You just saw it with your own eyes. Another horrifying attempt to assassinate the president of the United States at the White House Correspondents Association dinner. This isn't random. It's not random violence. This is the poisonous fruit of years of radicalism, divisive Democrat rhetoric, and activist teachers in our schools pushing extreme ideologies on our kids. And we're letting it happen. We're tearing ourselves apart while real enemies watch and wait. We're seeing weaknesses in security organizations and procedures. Just look at the Code Pink radicals calling for death to tyrants outside who infiltrated the secure Hilton lobby area before the attacker even did his thing. That's how deep the rot has gone inside our country, folks. And while Americans fight each other, we're locked in a serious conflict in Iran. An Iran who's supported indefinitely by the Chinese communists. One where it looks like we're finally turning the tide and winning, according to the president. And in times like these, America desperately needs independent voices who refuse to peddle propaganda. Our free press was supposed to protect our republic by reporting the truth fearlessly, but too many of them have abandoned that sacred duty. That's exactly why I'm thrilled once again to be joined today by a man who's still fighting for that truth, CDM Press President and CEO L. Todd Wood, retired special operations pilot, patriot, and fearless truth teller, is back with us. Todd, welcome back to the Rob Maness Show.
Glad to be back. Love this show. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we were supposed to talk all about the war in Iran and what's going on the seas and in the mountains and all that stuff. And we will talk a little bit about that in the last segment. But now we have to talk about the, I don't know, Todd. I chose the topic, the title about the worst kind of war being brother against brother, because it's the only thing that I know, the only thing that I know that looks like what is building is what I have learned from reading history, real history facts about the lead up to the Civil War in the United States of America.
Well, that's very apropos, as they say. I'm still shocked at the lack of security at over the weekend at that event. I mean, I can't chalk it up to incompetence or, Keystone Cops. I think that was intentional. I think there's a problem inside the Secret Service and with some kind of infiltration going on, whether it's foreign actors or not. But I think there are people inside the country that are definitely aligned with foreign actors. And yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. We're in a major war, and this is intentional, and this is war. This is unrestricted warfare, in my opinion. That's what we're seeing.
Well, I picked that particular video to lead off with because you could see the response of the agents on the details for Vance, VP Vance, and the president at the same time. I was very pleased when I saw that part of this, and I saw this before I saw anything else. You get an agent in front, in front of the banquet table, in front of the president, so you can't even see him. And that was the first action I saw. You see Vance, this detail, take him out a different direction, and those kind of things. And then they get the president up, and for some reason had him get down on the floor, he said, before they moved him on out. I think he was worried about Melania because they were having to deal with her at the same time, which made it look different than what they did with Vance. So I was very pleased with that piece of the Secret Service. But man, you know, the layers of security just don't appear to have been there. And we'll show a clip of the Code Pink people in the lobby of the Hilton before this action ever took place. It's not boggling my mind as much as it is. We haven't fixed the problems that were identified by all the investigations, by Congress, by the FBI, by everybody on the Butler issue, and then the golf course issue down in Florida, same kind of thing. We have not resolved those issues, if we don't resolve those issues, somebody's going to get killed.
Well, yes, those issues are not resolved. I mean, the security was wide open. The guy ran right past the metal detectors. I don't know exactly where he got stopped. You can't really see it, but I mean, that was a serious breach of security. So, but what bothers me, just like in Butler and elsewhere and here, is the silence afterwards and the lack of accountability. You didn't see any big changes after. You didn't see people hauled up and fired. I mean, I think one woman was resigned who was running the Secret Service, but you did not see, and maybe that's intentional because they don't want to tell people what they've done. But you didn't see a big outcry and bubbling up of frustration and demand for accountability so that this wouldn't happen again. And it's happened again. That's what I see. And again, you're seeing silence. You're not seeing the heads are going to roll at the Secret Service. How could you let this happen? I mean, that's the question. How could this happen? Where you had the entire government of the United States in one room and you let that happen? It boggles my mind.
Yeah, I mean, if there had been more than one, or this guy had been wearing a suicide vest, there would have been probably hundreds, if not more, people killed and hurt in this. Even though he didn't get to the door.
I haven't read him personally, but I understand that was bragging that he checked in early and could walk around with no harassment right past the security. You're right. What if he had what's the name of the nerve agent that the Russians use where they put on the doorknobs?
Sarin.
I mean, so what if he had that and was just running it around? I mean, because that stuff spreads, you know, people, it's really unreal the way this went down. I still can't fathom it, to be honest. And we have to have some accountability. We must demand it here. What is going on?
Yeah. I'm not going to say his name, but I did read the manifesto, which was written in easy to read English language. It wasn't crazy. He basically parroted many of the talking points you hear about the president, his administration, Republicans, and those kinds of things. Which leads me to go, well, this guy's not even a radical. He's a mainstream Democrat.
Yeah.
Shouldn't that be very concerning to everybody?
Of course. You know, not to get off subject, but I put an article out just now on, I think you saw it, on a group of women at the Air Force Academy, basically, you know, insubordinate action toward the Secretary of Defense or Secretary of War in a time of war. I mean, that is... These things have to be clamped down, and that's exactly what you're talking about. When you have subversives in the society, they must be dealt with. And we are getting to the point where either they're going to be dealt with or we're going to have real problems if we let this go. As you said, civil war type stuff, which I don't want. It's not good. I mean, I'm from the South. I mean, the South was destroyed. It's not good. So we don't want that. So we need to find a way to avoid it.
Yeah, I'm from the South too, and I have ancestors underneath those headstones that the Veterans Affairs Administration issues for Confederate soldiers because they're Americans. They're pointed headstones, and I have several ancestors laying under them. No, it's nothing that we want. But you know, there was a, and we're not going to show it here, but I mean, just the day before this, Hakeem Jeffries is standing in front of a banner sign that's 8 foot by 8 foot at least, that says we are in a state of maximum warfare. That man is the House of Representatives Democrat political leader. He would be Speaker of the House if the Democrats have control of the House.
Well, and that shows you how important these midterms are. They say this every election, but I mean, my gosh, I mean, you can't let those people get power again. We saw what they did, and they were somewhat constrained because, you know, they didn't want to go all out, but they'll go all out this time if they get power and get access to the levers of power. We just can't allow that. So this is really, really, really important. And it's really important for the U.S. to come out of this war in a good situation and in a something that is positive for our economy and the global economy so that we can really rebound into November and win that election in a big way. And that's what I'm trying to fight for.
I don't want to go into the Iran thing right now, too deep right now, but you know, the Iranians, a free Iran that can be a friend, not just the United States, but to its neighbors, and trade, and exchange cultural ideas from the Persian culture, and those kind of things is the best outcome, for this. Has the United States taken that on as a strategic objective? No, we have not. Might it happen anyway? It might. You know, and if there are enough freedom-loving people still in the country or that are willing to go home from places like here and Albania and Paris and those kind of places, then it's not an impossibility. And I have hope that will happen someday anyway, because of what we've done so far and everything. But these people that just tried to kill the president again and his cabinet. And I say people because this guy is not alone. He's part of a culture. He's part of a party. This is not a singular individual event. None of them are. But these people, they actually agree with the Iranians that our country and Donald Trump is the equivalent of the great Satan. That's what these these people, and we'll show a clip, I think the next clip, the third clip today will be some of those people. You know, the Red-Green Alliance is real. Not just in this country, but some of the people you'll see today that are protesting are actually in alliance with the Islamists in Iran and in alliance with the communists in Cuba and in alliance with the communist Chinese, who are in alliance with the Islamists. Much more, I mean, the Russians are too, but I'm hearing now the Chinese are trying to get oil to them by train. Which doesn't surprise me at all, because we haven't backed off doing what we're doing for Ukraine.
Yeah.
Why would they back off doing what they're doing for Iran? This the great game is afoot.
For sure. For sure.
The great powers. Once again. We've got to do something about it, but we've got to handle our problems internally, so that we can do the right things externally with the confidence that our house isn't going to fracture and collapse from within. We got to take a break, Todd. When we come back, we'll see the president's a couple of jump clips from the White House that we put out from the president's 60 Minutes interview. This is very, very telling, folks. Very telling. We cannot have a war of brother on brother again in this country. We'll be right back.
I read a manifesto. He's radicalized. He was probably a pretty sick guy. You can see the expression on the first lady's face. She looked very upset about what just took place. Yeah. Why not?
And he fired off one or two rounds.
His speed was rather incredible. Actually, it was like a blur. It was amazing because as soon as they saw that, you could see them draw their guns. They were so professional, aimed their guns, and then they took them down immediately. I listened to what they said. Please drop down, sir. Please drop down. Then I got up, and we went to a hold room for a while, and I tried to get them to continue the event, if possible.
You wanted to go back in.
I did. I really did.
And he also wrote this. I am no longer willing to permit a pedophile, rapist, and traitor to coat my hands with his crimes. What's your reaction?
Well,
to that?
I was waiting for you to read that because I knew you would, because you're horrible people, horrible people. Yeah, he did write that. I'm not a rapist. I didn't rape anybody.
Do you think he was referring to you?
Excuse me. I'm not a pedophile. You read that crap from some sick person. I'm not any of those things.
Mr. President,
and I
these
was
are
never,
the
excuse
gunman's
me,
words.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be reading that on 60 Minutes. You're a disgrace. I do think that the hate speech of the Democrats, much more so, is very dangerous. I really think it's very dangerous to the country. I hope we're going to do it again. I'm very busy. I don't need that. I think it's very important that they do it again.
I made a show. It's More War Monday. And unfortunately, we're talking about the building war inside the United States amongst our own people, which I oppose, adamantly oppose. I come from a Southern family that's fought in every war since 1775. Going to war with your own brothers is the worst of warfare. That's why I titled the show. It is. My guest is CDM Press CEO L. Todd Wood. And Todd, you know, I know the president said he was a radical, but you know, I think the whole Democrat Party, if he's a radical, the whole Democrat Party's radicalized now. I think it just, that's the way the mainstream is for most of the people that are still calling themselves Democrats.
And I think we have to find a way to just not accept that behavior, you know, whether it's your daughter coming back from college or somebody at church or somebody in the grocery store or somebody in a demonstration against the Secretary of War. You just cannot accept that behavior. And you have, I'm not saying being violent about it, but it has to be. You have to make it, you shame them and make it uncomfortable socially for them to hold those views. I think that's the way forward. And a lot of our side is, you know, just don't want to get involved or don't want to say anything. But, you know, when you see somebody holding a sign like that, you just say, you know, I'm ashamed of you. That's unacceptable. And let them know, at least make them think twice. I think that will go a long way to try to stop this. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, there is a First Amendment issue around this mm-hmm. for those of us that have risked our lives for that thing called the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence mm-hmm. to defend it and make sure it stays in existence. there's a major issue here. You know, the president, and I agree with him, said, I knew you would read that. You're bad people or whatever it was he said, because he has an ongoing fight with the corporate press. I call them the paid press.
Yeah.
You know, and they have picked that fight going all the way back to the Charlottesville press conference, you know, where Scott Adams called him out and said, something's not right here with this whole Charlottesville thing. And now we have the SPLC indictment and know that they were paying the leader of the Unite the Right to hold that Charlottesville thing and paying him to stir the pot with social media posts and to say things and those kind of things. It's in the indictment, folks. All you got to do is read it for you paid press that might see this and come in and disagree, or you lemmings out there that can't be nuanced or perceptive about anything except for propaganda. Now go read the indictment. I ask you to read the indictment. What I just said is in the indictment. You know, so but there is a First Amendment issue. I mean, I've never said somebody in the press should be arrested for what they're doing that I recall. I have to say that because I've said a lot of things about the press, the paid press, that I don't like. I think they're a failure for the people of the United States of America. I think they're our enemy, as a matter of fact. But I've never called for their arrest for what they say. It's the fact that they keep saying the same lies that are damaging to the American people that results in me having to talk about, hey, is the whole Democrat Party like this guy? Because he doesn't sound crazy, you know? When you read his writings, it's nothing like what we've seen in the past from killers that have been infected by this propaganda, this pro-death propaganda from the left, of which the paid media is a big part of it. So, I mean, what I am saying is that we have to raise our voices and shame them to get them to change their ways. And in things beyond shame, I mean, in using every tool possible that's legal.
Well, you know, I'm in the Pentagon Press Corps, and I wrote an article a week or so ago that talk about shameful behavior. I mean, I you know, it's bad enough in the short briefings with Secretary Hegseth, but I went to 5 hours of budget briefings at the Pentagon last week.
I'm sorry.
And yeah, I know. I know more about F-35 budget items than anyone now. But I found it that they, you know, there's open insubordination. They don't even try to hide it anymore. They laugh. They make jokes in the press room. This is a legacy press. And, you know, there's kind of an underlying bureaucracy of the Pentagon Press Corps that is on first name basis with these guys. They obviously worked with them for years. They're all smiles and hugs. There's no professional distance. And this underlying bureaucracy doesn't call on people like me or John Conrad or anybody else until they just kind of don't have anybody else to talk to, right? Yeah. And they call the other guys by name, you know, Joe at AP or whatever. And then they're like, oh, yeah, you have a question. So it's like it's an organized resistance inside the Department of War, I see. And it's not just the press. It's others. And then they're just completely – and then there's derogatory comments from some of the bureaucracy, some of the Pentagon civilians. I saw it with my own eyes. I'm not going to name names, but I find that disturbing. And that has to be rooted out.
Yeah, I sent you a tweet or a piece of information from Grok about a guy that's a professor at the Air Force Academy, according to the research, quick research I did. And the reason I did it is because he published an article at Real Clear Defense that they published today, basically saying he's a resistor to using the term Department of War.
Oh, he laid out
all the reasons why.
I didn't get that he was the guy that did that because I saw that and Infantry Dort came after him pretty hard.
Yeah, take a look at that.
I will. You'll I'm going to get on that bad boy. Thank you.
you know, I was surprised when I read his bio. I'm like, oh, what is going on here? You know, and I just tweeted out over it. Look, the resistance is deep and broad.
Well, you know, it's funny because I looked at his bio on Real Clear Defense and it was – it said professor of something and strategic, and then the sentence was broken. Yeah. So I think they took out maybe that he was at the Air Force Academy.
It looked like they had truncated the line, something. But it never said that he was at the Air Force Academy. I had to look it
yeah.
up
okay. Okay.
to find
okay.
that. Okay. And according to what I found, I mean, he's a current professor at the Air Force Academy, which surprises me that look, you can have the debate. Civilians can have the debate about whether the Department of War name is appropriate or Department of Defense, and that Congress hasn't officially changed the name yet. But the president gave an executive order, and he can change the name.
Yeah.
Okay. And he did. You can have that discussion if you're a civilian, but you can't have that discussion if you're working for the Department of War and openly resist the president through an insubordinate article.
I'm going to light that up.
You know, and real clear defense, I think it's shame on them for publishing the article, but that's fine. You know, it's a First Amendment issue. That's why we're talking about this, because it is a First Amendment issue. And I think people like you and I, Todd, we want to turn this around before it becomes an all-out shooting civil war, because it would, I mean, it would make the original war between the states look like kindergarten if we get into this again.
Yeah.
But that's certainly where we're going. I mean, Mike Cernovich said, people need to wake up. We are just pre-Spanish Civil War, pre-Russian Revolution.
Mm-hmm. This is definite Bolshevikism here.
Yeah,
definitely.
I mean, that's where we're at in this. Just like when you said in the first segment, hey, you know, we can't allow these guys to be elected again. Look what they're going to do. Well, in the Spanish Civil War, I've been doing a lot of reading about it lately because people keep bringing it up to me. And I was vaguely familiar, but I hadn't really studied it. But in the Spanish Civil War, what happened was you had about six different factions. Three got together and the other three got together, mainly the people on the right and then the people on the center and the left. And they decided that if any one of them from those groups got elected, that it was so unacceptable that it would be right to kill them, you know, the members of that group. And ultimately the Spanish Civil War happened, and Franco ended up winning, which is like the right and the and nationalism and those kind of things, instead of the left and communism and the centrist Republicans. And it was the Republicans that had the best political ideas, but they got crushed.
Yeah.
Because they let it go too far.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I wanted to do this show
today. Well, you know, there's a story during the Bolshevik Revolution when it just kicked off, and, you know, the miscreants were running through the streets and killing people and shooting anybody they could. And they ran into a theater that the play was still going on in with the elites in the theater. And they said, hey, there's a revolution going on. And they're like, hold on, the play's not over yet. Mm-hmm. You know? So, I mean, we're kind of in that kind of thinking process right now. We really got to get focused on what's going on.
Yeah. Because again, in the Bolshevik revolution, you know, the question I see asked a lot, well, why the Tsar had all this power, Tsar Nicholas, and he did, and he had control over all these, I don't know how big the army was, a million people, I think, maybe, well-armed, had the best and everything, but they let a couple thousand Bolsheviks take control of the country?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
true.
How could he let that happen? And I think the reason is because you have one side in these situations that they want things to be like what we're talking about. They want to return to normal political debate where you don't kill each other just because you might lose a political debate or you disagree on policy and those kind of things. And they thought that their mass, their numbers, and their power and wealth would be able to forestall these very, very small number of radicals. That's what I think.
It's happening here. This is Bolshevism 101.
And this is not small numbers, though. That's why I've emphatically said this guy is not a radical. He is mainstream Democrat for his age group. That age group, more than 36% of them think it's okay to kill somebody with political violence because they disagree with them politically. That's incredible.
Look at all the girls Look at all the girls wanting to sleep with the guy who shot the United Healthcare executive. You know,
the Luigi Democrats.
Yeah,
I think. Well, we got to take another break. When we come back, we'll see the first infiltration by the enemy into the Hilton lobby. Take it serious, folks. That's what I think it was. We'll be right back with Todd Wood.
News is moving faster than ever, and so are we. Worldview Tube brings you 24/7 live stream coverage, and now, real-time alerts when it matters most. Once you have the Worldview Tube app installed, exit the app and navigate your way to settings. In settings, locate the tab labeled Notifications. Select the Notifications tab. Scroll down until you locate the Worldview Tube app icon. Select the tab, and here you can turn on and customize your notification experience for the Worldview Tube app. News doesn't wait, and neither should you. Turn on push notifications to stay informed. Every headline as it happens.
Amal Khalil.
By the Israelis. And we were there with the picture of Amal Khalil showing Wolf Blitzer the picture. He said, I don't know who that is. Oh. We said, you should know who it is because she was just assassinated by the Israelis. She was under the rubble for hours while they wouldn't let the rescuers come in. They were targeting her and then targeting the people who were going to rescue her. By the time the rescuers got there, she was dead. And these are the colleagues of the people celebrating the war criminal. Both Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth are going to be in there tonight. And these journalists, in quotes, are celebrating while people are being killed in the West Bank, in Gaza, in Lebanon, in Iran. Every single day, their colleagues, their journalists are being murdered.
Saw Jen Psaki in there, she turned her back. We saw Sheryl Sandberg in there, turned her back.
Turned her back.
These are not journalists. The people on the ground in Gaza are risking their lives daily, having to report on their own people, their own families' deaths. We just saw Amal Khalil in Lebanon. And these journalists are sitting here partying with Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth and Stephen Miller. And this is how they treat us when we try to tell them, all we want is for you to report the truth. Talk about the genocide of Gaza. Talk about the genocide in Lebanon. Talk about the illegal war on Iran. Talk about these things instead of just staying silent and then coming and partying with the war criminals that are in charge of these decisions. This moment will go down in history, and these people are on the wrong side of it.
How dare you all just stand here and party with war criminals?
Welcome back to the Rob Mayna Show. It's More War Monday, and what you just saw there was the red-green axis, communists and Islamist axis in action inside the United States. And you also saw, let me explain to you what you're seeing. You're seeing that axis infiltrate the secure lobby of the Hilton Hotel before the attempted assassination on President Trump and his cabinet. So the lobby had already been infiltrated by America's enemies. Some of the signs that you saw in the video were inside the Hilton, no war with Iran. These are the enemies of America. Okay? We're at war with Iran, no matter what kind of declarations have been done or anything, we are in a war with them. They've been at war with us since 1979. They're our enemy. So these people were in there. You saw Wolf Blitzer. Wolf Blitzer was not far from where assassin got to his furthest point through the magnetometers and almost up to the doors of the banquet hall when he did his thing. So that's what you're seeing there. And if you don't believe me, the lady in pink took a team to communist Cuba to show their support for communists in Cuba just several weeks ago. And that is the red-green axis that is alive and well inside the United States of America. My guest today is CDM Press CEO, Air Force Academy graduate, by the way, and Special Operations Helicopter Pilot, Todd Wood. Todd, I could have shown the videos with the signs outside that say death to tyrants, they all need to die, and those kind of things. This was outside the Hilton, but it's more effective to show them inside, because I'm going to be honest with you, as somebody that's done operations type stuff all of my life since I was 17 years old, that looked like a softening up exercise prior to the main event of that attack to me.
I would agree. And again, I'll just say that if you read the manifesto, the guy brags about walking around the Hilton inside the secure ring for 2 days. I mean, you would think that they would go through and check out who's all there. And I don't know all the procedures, but you definitely don't let people get down and walk by the ballroom and check it out and see the, you know, what security is there, what's not, what's what entrance, exit areas, all that stuff, you know, metal detectors, and do like a pre, you know, observation surveillance of the site. I mean, you just don't, that doesn't happen. So I'm going to, in my position as a journalist, I'm going to try to push for accountability on this, because it's happened over and over and over since Kennedy. It's happened over and over and over.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've had Roger Stone on the show. He just tweeted out, I think this morning I retweeted him or reposted him, whatever we call this thing now, reposted him talking about how this goes all the way back to the JFK assassination at a minimum that we know of. So this guy, the way I understand it is he came all the way down a stairwell before he burst out of it and made his dash to try to kill people. So he was hidden basically because there was apparently no agents or law enforcement inside the stairwells at all, even down at the bottom, which surprises me. No, because I've done Secret Service work and I understand what the procedures are, and the ones that I know about were not followed. Okay. So just by that, knowing that fact right there, that's been reported as a fact. Now, if it turns out that this is wrong information, I'll certainly on the air talk about that and reverse that. But that's what's been reported so far. So what the question in my mind that raises and why it's linked to this segment is that somebody had to be getting information from somewhere, because he had to know what time, when to do his action, you know, because the president's not going to be sitting, and the vice president and the cabinet officials aren't going to necessarily be sitting at their seats on some kind of schedule, you know, a specific schedule that you're going to know about. So he had to be getting information from somewhere, and it leads me right back to the red-green axis and these people being in that lobby and being right outside. That which would be close enough for his device, the devices to trade information, in spite of being blocked, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think this also gives a big push and insight into actually what's going on behind the scenes with the ballroom issue, because obviously there was a lack of security and security protocols were either not followed or too lax. But the ballroom would solve that. So maybe that's why, I mean, I'm sure the opposition knows that. That's going to be a very secure facility where you can, you know, protect anyone inside, at least from everything but a large missile coming in. So I think that's probably why there's been so much, opposition to that ballroom to the point of legal action, because they realize that. And it's going to shut off an axis of a vector of attack. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah. Anybody that's been inside the White House grounds all the way in understands that it will be very difficult for something like this to happen. It would be impossible, really, for something this type of attack to happen at the doors to that ballroom the way this just happened. Very difficult. It would be impossible for this particular one. Let me just reiterate that. So that would resolve that. But it gets to my one of the other things that I was going to bring up, and that is you're hearing this, the leftist talking point out. It was staged. Trump staged it so that he could get the ballroom. That's what they're saying.
Well, if that's the case, then we got, you know, you can go down all the rabbit holes you want. But I think that to me, it's Occam's razor. The most obvious thing is that the security was really bad, and we need to find out why that was.
And you saw the video in the President Trump's clip there of the guy running through. I mean, what did you see when you first saw that video? You've done military operations before and special ops stuff. What did you see when you saw that?
I saw complete surprise on the part of the guys at the metal detector. I only saw him run through the camera frame. So I don't know how he was taken down, if it was a shot or what. Do you know how he was taken down? But because he runs, he's still running as he leaves. He shoots the guy and then keeps running. And luckily, the guy had a vest on.
Yeah, and he's running full speed.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody fire their weapons in the video. It's hard to tell because there's no sound on that particular video. But there were multiple gunshots fired.
We heard four of them. Yeah, five.
At least four or five.
Yeah.
And it's my understanding he fired two of them. But there's no reports that he was hit. Like we got reports that the uniformed Secret Service agent was hit, officer was hit in his vest, and he went to the hospital. But we got no reporting that the perpetrator was hit. Just said he was transported to the hospital to check him out.
Well, I did. What did spark my interest was he was covered with one of those space blankets, which usually is a thermal blanket to keep you heated, which I thought, well, maybe he had a gunshot wound or something in the leg or whatever. You don't really know. It's hard to tell. And then if you listen to the tape, the succession of shots, the four or five, that was a professional. It wasn't him.
Yeah.
I don't think that was somebody, either one or two guys that, you know, shot something. So hopefully we'll know more, but.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of my questions is if he was hit. Okay. But if he wasn't hit, you're kidding me, right? Because the reports are that he was tackled
by
agents. And
maybe they just shot
way.
to scare him or something. I don't know. But
yeah.
Maybe they missed. You know?
And I'm not a doctor, but I've seen people that have been wounded that are in shock and everything. He doesn't look that way when you see his face and movements on the ground. They probably stripped him to make sure he didn't have an IED on him, right?
Well, true. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And so then why wouldn't you strip everybody else in the whole place? You know, I mean, or at least have, you know, some checking going on, you know.
Well, that's the thing. One of the things that I'm concerned about with this particular incident, why I'm speaking out about the security planning process is that and saying, hey, they dropped the ball. That's the exact phrase I use is that they dropped the ball again. And it's here. In the planning process and the way they set it up and set up the multi-layered defense where they dropped the ball. Yeah, they got the guy. Nobody got hurt. But what if he did have one of those invisible suicide vests on and could have gotten through that way, even to the point where he got to and killed 100 people or more or something like that if it brought down the roof of the ball.
Well, the first thing the White House
easily done.
The White House came out and said, we have faith in the Secret Service. Why did you announce that straight off the bat? I don't have faith in the Secret Service. I mean,
knowing what I know, and I've worked with them before doing protection work, I don't have faith in this current Secret Service.
And let's go back in history. There's some history here, right? I mean, Reagan was shot at this hotel because it's not a secure hotel. It's not a place where you can have multi-layer. It's not built that way. It's built for easy entrance and exit of lots of civilians who are guests. It's not built for security. So they know that there's some history here. So, okay, deal with the history, deal with the vulnerabilities, but they didn't do that. They left it wide open again. Why?
Well, they did he was killed at the outside area. So they have put some building material to block the view where they're picked up and dropped off and everything. But that's the only change that I've seen. I was there a few years ago for a national prayer breakfast. Where King Hussein of Jordan was the speaker. Mm-hmm. So they had tight security and everything. And I saw it laid out and everything. So they did do that, but they haven't done the things that needed to be done post Butler adequately enough, obviously.
Obviously.
If the enemy can get into the lobby, and they did twice, the Code Pink people, and then this guy did it twice, then you haven't done the work that needs to be done to fix this problem. You just haven't. And that's not saying anything bad about the agents directly around the president and the vice president or the guys that took the guy down. But you know what? I saw some people not paying attention in that video, and that's what I saw, is they thought that things were done. It had wound down. Everybody's inside. You could tell the exhale that was happening. And you saw it in the response. You saw it the way they were standing around before he runs through at full speed, by a guy within arm's reach, a couple of them within arm's reach.
Yeah. And was he Capitol Hill police or what? Or
I don't know. The plainclothes guy.
Yeah.
Standing there with his hands in his pockets. I don't know what he was, but good on him. I mean, his response, he went right for his weapon immediately. But being prepared to do that is the difference between life and death quite often.
Mentioned the Secret Service guy getting in front of Trump. Yeah, I agree. That was good on him. But where were the other 25 guys that should have been there? You know, I mean, I found it very underwhelming. You know,
they were there very quickly, but not before the assault response team was there. Good on them for moving fast. So we got to take our last break. When we come back, we'll dive into Iran and hear what the president said about Iran's involvement potential.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. Would you like to gain access to over 20 years of my radio shows, TV shows, my books? I've written 15 books, and most of those books are ebooks now. And we have conference DVDs, conferences where we filmed our conferences at the Ozarks, literally starting 20 years ago. It's all available in our archived vault. All you have to do is go to worldviewtube.com/vault. worldviewtube.com/vault. And for a reasonable monthly fee, you gain access to over 20 years of Christian worldview programming, news, information, books, documentaries, and a powerful search engine. And folks, it's a great way not only to educate yourself, equip yourself, but it's a big way that you can help fund our continuation as a broadcast network. Please check it out. worldviewtube.com/vault, worldviewtube.com/vault, and help us continue pushing out a Christian worldview.
It doesn't happen to people that don't do anything, and it's not going to deter me from winning the war in Iran. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. I really don't think so, based on what we know. But we're going to continue to do a great job. That's all I can do.
Welcome back to the Rob Manis Show. And we're talking about the war within our own borders, potentially brother against brother, and how we need to figure out a way to intercept that and disrupt it from ever happening, because nothing ever good will come out of that if the Americans go to war against each other again. But one side keeps trying to kill the political leadership of the other side. And this time they went after the entire cabinet, including the president of the United States and the vice president of the United States. By his own admission, the assassin in his manifesto laid it out that way, from the top to the bottom, talking about the president and his cabinet, political appointed cabinet. My guest today is L. Todd Wood, CDM Press CEO and former U.S. Air Force helicopter pilot. Well, Todd, you know, getting to the Iranian piece of this, I don't know. I wonder if the president knew about the Code Pink infiltration of the lobby at the time he said that last night, or the night of the event.
There's a lot of strange stuff. There's some video of or stills of him like peeking behind the curtains. I'd love to know. I'd love to be a fly on the wall and understand really what happened here. He's definitely got a sixth sense of something, and it's I don't know, to answer your question. It wouldn't surprise me. I think he knows a lot of what's going on, and I think a lot of this is him letting it play out to some extent so people can see it. That's definitely part of it, but it's scary at the same time.
Yeah, they definitely need to dive into the from the investigating part of it to make sure where they pulled all the threads to make sure that we know one way or the other what are which adversaries might have been involved or were potentially involved for sure, because we are in a war with Iran and the Chinese are supporting them. They're supporting them just like we support Ukraine. They're not going to stop.
Sure.
Somebody was asking me about them transporting oil overland by train. Well, they're not going to stop trying to support them because they're their ally, just like we're not stopping supporting Ukraine officially, unfortunately, and the killing continues. But so I think we've got to investigate that fully. Hopefully it will go better than some previous efforts have. Well, we got some questions in the live audience. Let's see if we can take one of those before we get to the end of the show. Go ahead, Sean.
We have Elizabeth, sir.
Sorry about that. My mic wouldn't hit. Thank you, Colonel. One of the things that bothered me was the fact that they had both president and vice president there. Does that happen very often? And I just saw that they made an announcement that the officer that fired five times. Just for knowledge.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah,
that does make sense. Does make sense. So maybe the assassin. Well, he got a shot off because he hit the guy on the way in.
Yeah, so. I don't think we heard that. I think that was.
Yeah,
I didn't pick that out in the video. That was obviously sometime. Maybe it wasn't, but I tend to think that's when he first ran through.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, listen to the eyewitnesses that were in the room, even though the doors were open. They said the first sound didn't sound like a gunshot. Sounded more like glass.
Interesting.
Glass breakage. It's kind of interesting. So, not sure. He was carrying handguns and a shotgun. Not sure what weapon he used to do that. But more facts will come out. So, if they shot five times, I would expect that at least one of those hit the perpetrator. I hope, anyway.
You would hope, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The, so. When we look at this from the perspective of outwardly, we've got operations still ongoing in Iran. What purpose would it serve for them to pull off a successful murder of the president of the United States or even a cabinet member at an event like this? Why would the Iranians want to do that? Considering we've got your backs up against the wall.
No, the same reason. Well, first one comes to my mind is retaliation. They even put out a blurb, the Iranian leadership, I forget who it was recently, maybe today or tomorrow at the latest, saying, make sure you don't get eliminated, Mr. President, something to that effect. So I think they want revenge for what, you know, we've taken out their leadership. That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
There's a big effort inside the United States that's developing, especially in Texas, to stop Sharia law and everything. And I read in that article I sent you that they've also put out a fatwa for all Muslims to try to kill Donald Trump.
You've got a problem in New York. You've got a problem in D.C. I mean, you know, D.C. is much cleaner, but there's still some squirrely people running around. You know, I go there often, and I still have my head on a swivel because you just don't know what you're going to run into. And then we had, you know, these crazy, have you noticed, Rob, that the crazy driving all over the highways, just in and out like this and cutting people off? I don't know if that's, my take is it's like immigrants. So we have an element in our society, I guess is my point, that we really have to stay in front of. And that is a lot due to immigration, but also the Muslim infiltration, which nobody wants to talk about. We're talking about all kind of other infiltration, but we're not talking about that at all. And that has to be talked about.
Mean the 75,000 Afghani Islamists that we allowed to come into the country unvetted?
Exactly.
Unvetted?
Something like that.
In August of 2021?
Yes.
Thank you for nothing. Joe Biden and the Department of Defense, including you commissioned military officers that let it happen. Yeah, yeah. I'm talking to you guys.
And then they won awards.
Yeah, and then they won awards, and now some of them are still in place, and they're resisting. They're resisting the more than appropriate changes that have been and are being made inside the Department of War. And when you're resisting like that, a good friend of mine said, look, what you may think you're resisting some big infallible idea and those kind of things, but what you're really resisting is the will of the American people that was done by an election. I mean, that's why when Joe Biden was able to get sworn in as president of the United States, even though the election we knew was stolen, but that's why you didn't have an uprising of armed violence. You know, it's because we knew that he was legitimately sworn in as president of the United States, regardless of what we thought about the dang election. And those of us that believe in the Constitution want it to be there for the next round.
Well, it comes down to the will to survive. You're seeing this in Europe where they've just been too nice for too long. And I'm not sure they're going to pull out of this. We still have a chance. Mm-hmm. And we have to have the will to survive as a culture, as a nation, as a people, as a republic, and as free men and women. And that's what we have to decide we're going
to
do.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, how should we handle this? Because you see speaking of the will to survive, and you and I have both said a couple of times now, we don't want to see a civil war scenario with a brother against brother. So we have people trying to take advantage of that and say things like, well, this is a both sides issue. We need to just talk more, et cetera, and be nicer to each other and those kinds of things. I'm not going to be nice to a group of people that wants me dead.
Well, I'm sorry. You just have to not accept the behavior. Like if you're in church and the preacher gets up and starts talking about how great transgender is and, you know, President Trump's a criminal, you have to stand up and say, no, this is not Christianity. I'm not going to accept this and leave. And you have to make them, you have to shame them in any other venue that you're in. You can't accept it, period. And that's going to be our generation because the younger generation doesn't have the freedom antibodies like we do. Mm-hmm. So that's just a fact. So it's on us to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, it is on us. It is urgent. Got to speak out, and get out in the community. Really?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Get involved. Don't black pill and say, I can't do anything, because you can. Even though you try and you're not successful, that doesn't mean you stop. You try again. You get more allies. You go at it again a different way. You know, in your county commission or whatever. We're having a lot of success in different jurisdictions in Florida and in Georgia and elsewhere that we're involved in, where people are just will not quit. And that's what has to happen in a macro level across the country.
Yeah, and since we are in the 250th year of the Declaration of Independence, and you know, this time a year ago, 251 year ago, the shot heard around the world battle had just been fought. My ancestor on my dad's side enlists in July on July 5th, actually, of 1775. Eventually, down in North Carolina, a lot of us that have families that go back that far are now coming to volunteer. And in the ensuing war, we lost most of the battles that we fought in, but we didn't give up.
That's true. Very true.
We didn't give up. Right.
Yeah. The first 2 years of the revolution were horrific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my friend, I appreciate it. The time is always too short when we have these discussions, but this was a very important one. I appreciate you giving us your time.
I love it. Love to come back anytime. And I'm going to get you back soon.
So. Absolutely. Look forward to it.
Take care.
We'll see you later, Todd. Tomorrow, Cliff Maloney's got a book out. Cliff Maloney's the Pennsylvania Chase guy. You've heard had him on the show. I'm a big fan of his Citizens Alliance group that puts all that together. He's got a new book out, Run Right. How to Run for Office and Win. How to Run for Office and Win. And my book, What You Can Do About That, Fighting the Corruption in Our Government and Our Political Parties, is coming out in depth.